The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Welcome to Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. The following program is brought to you by Sports Radio New York.
And good evening and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening, May 4th, 2014. We are part of the network of shows on Sports Radio New York, broadcasting from WGBB 1240 AM in Freeport, Long Island, New York. I'm Gary Harding, and across the table from me, of course, is my co-host John Panarese, and Brian Graves, our engineer, is behind the glass. And tonight, it's Q&A with the GM. Our guest for this show will be Islanders General Manager Gar Snow, and it's his second time joining us. We will have him on for about 45 minutes tonight, and we're going to discuss the state of the Islanders for this past season, for the next few months as the draft and free agency comes along, and what should we expect for the upcoming year. And, John, good evening, and I know you and I have been doing our homework.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week getting things together. Of course, through our site and through Facebook and through a lot of places on social media, we've been asking people to give us questions to give to our guest that's coming on. And we put some things together, and we promise, you know, our guest tonight that we don't have guns. We're not going to shoot you. but we're gonna pick your brain a little bit. And we're gonna try to make sure that, you know, we do it in a way that, you know, we don't want to, obviously, he doesn't want to put out his hand to anybody, and we don't want him to put his hand out, but we'll try to get some things going. So with us on the line, of course, Islanders General Manager Garth Snow. Garth, we thank you right away for coming on with us this evening, and how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Gary, John?
Doing good.
All right. So first thing I'm going to bring up, and this has nothing to do with the Islanders themselves, but you may know the story. When the Islanders were in Winnipeg, there was a young 11-year-old boy who was a diehard Islander fan who wore his John Tavares jersey to the game, and unfortunately got hit by some rowdy fans afterwards. And obviously, the story made public, and of course, John Tavares did a great deed and sending his jersey out to this young man, Jake. And Jake, I hope you're on looking at the webcam, because we are sending you a message by the webcam right now. I asked him to have a question come to ask you, and he was a little bit shy on it, but he did come up with something. And he said, and I'm actually paraphrasing him, saying, "I love hockey and would love to play in the NHL one day. As an 11-year-old, what should I or any young hockey player do to impress you?"
Well, first of all, I heard the story from Kimber and a few of our fans, and then John also heard the story, so we wanted to, I think, do something special for Jake. And you know what, for any Islander fan, when we go on the road, you always see Islander jerseys, and it's just a shame that a young kid, you know, let alone any fan in a visiting building, can get tormented like that. So it was just a despicable act, and now we stick by our own, and even our Islander fans that aren't in Long Island, we have a lot of respect for, and hopefully get to meet them when we go to Wolverine next year. And for the question regarding an 11-year-old, you know what, just listen to your coaches, work hard, and probably most of all, just have fun with the game. And that's the bottom line, whether you're going to be an NHL player or a recreational player or anywhere in between. Bottom line is to have fun and enjoy the experience when you're on the ice, because it is the best sport I've ever played, and played lots of sports growing up. The team unity, the bonding with your parents and the car, those are all great things that our sport brings.
Okay, and we got one more other question that I want to bring up before we get into the nuts and bolts of this past season. Somebody else, Ryan Patrick on Facebook, asked, just on a personal note, of all the things that's happened in your career at the Nassau Coliseum, what would you say was your absolute most favorite moment, whether it was on the ice as a player, up in the suite as the general manager, anything at the Coliseum that would be your favorite moment?
Well, since I played in 2001 was my first year as an Islander, and you know what, that Sean Bates goal was pretty special as a player. A rowdy fan base, a engaging atmosphere for a home player. And then also I put the home games that we had last year against Pittsburgh as a pretty special environment to be a sports fan and an Islander fan. It was pretty cool, I think, when you talk to the players or the coaches, the amount of noise that you hear, whether it's people stomping their feet or the chants in the stands a half hour before the game, those are all great moments. And to be in that type of environment is something that's special for players, coaches, and management.
That's definitely true, because I remember just the whole atmosphere of being back, you know, in the playoffs again, and just the way the building was rocking like the old barn in the old days. Now, to kind of turn things to, you know, hockey, more I guess you'd say current-related things, we've gotten obviously a lot of questions from people in regards to the state of the team. Looking back at this season, obviously it was very eventful in a lot of different ways. What would you say, as the GM, was the best thing that came out of this season for the Islanders?
Well, I think the one silver lining that we have is we got to see a lot of our young players perform at this level and have success. Players that we had not envisioned playing in the NHL yet, and you know, that would be the one silver lining I think we got out of this season. And you know, it's always tough, and especially a season like this when it's the expectations, you know, from ourselves, from our fans, people on the outside, we all expected to be in a different situation than where we ended. So you know, amidst all that disappointment from the season, that to be able to watch some of our young players perform at a high level was definitely a silver lining in the season.
Was there any particular guy specifically, any player who surprised you more than anyone else because of the, you know, given the opportunity?
You know what, a guy like John Peterson, a guy, you know, like Calvin DeHaan, when he came up, had a lot of injury questions probably attached to him. You know, you could go through the list. I think we had 12 rookies at times in the last 15 games or so. But, you know, the younger players, not necessarily at the end, but who have taken a great stride. Calvin DeHaan would be on the list. Brock Nelson, when we drafted him, we traded up to get the number 30. I think it was with Chicago, and traded away some draft picks to solidify that position and to be able to watch Brock, how he's progressed over the years. And you know, there's definitely some young players that you know, the future looks bright in that regard.
Okay, switch over to me. And a lot of the questions that we ended up getting, Garth, was looking at the coaching situation. I kind of put it into an outline form just to, you know, I'll just give them out to you, and you can just put them in together. Some people are asking, how would you, again, judging, assessing how Cappy did, especially having to deal with, well, as we talked about, all the injuries and the 11 or 12 rookies coming in. when you make the assessment, was there something that you may have seen that maybe looking at it, backwards from 2020 hindsight, there could have been something that may have been done different, or was it just the fact of the injuries, unfortunately, stymied them a little bit? And also, could you talk about the fact of the announcement that was made a couple of days ago of the Brent Thompson return to Bridgeport for the Sound Tigers?
Yeah, the first part of that question, in regards to coaching staff, none of us use injuries as an excuse. And I don't want my answer to be interpreted like we are using it as an excuse, but the two injuries that really, I thought, hurt us were Lubomir Vyshnovsky getting injured and missing a significant amount of time. And then when Navi went down, he probably missed about a month and a half to 2 months in total for the season. Those were two huge injuries that we had trouble winning at times during the month of November, December. The trade we made for Halak, it's an opportunity to negotiate exclusively for the next month and a half to 2 months. And we obviously don't have any goaltenders on the contract next year, and it's a position we want to build some more depth in. And we made the trade with the hope that we can sign him. If we don't get him signed, there's obviously different avenues we can go down, other options, all things that will unfold at a later date. But right now we're going to give it our best shot to try to sign Halak.
Okay, just your thoughts about the situation with Brett Thompson. You think it's a good fit him going back to Bridgeport and taking over the coaching job over there, or has there been any thoughts or speculations as to who might replace him up with the big club?
You know what? One of the most important positions in this entire organization is the head coach at the AHL level. And with us having as many defense as we do coming through Bridgeport and coming through our system, it just makes that position that much more important. And Brett did a great job with us the last 2 years. He had a tremendous amount of success when he was in Bridgeport 3 years ago. So for us, it was probably more of a move, if not laterally, a move up in responsibility for Brent. And we, like I said, we have a lot of young defensemen that are coming through Bridgeport, and we just thought it was the right move for us to make.
Okay, well, moving to the off season, we had a bunch of questions, obviously, in regards to that as well. One question that comes to mind, that you're touching on the defensive depth that the Islanders obviously have. Robert from Queens was asking if there was the plans to maybe strengthening up on the wingers prospect. The Islanders are very deep in defense and the center area, and he wanted to know if there was any thoughts about that. And then also sort of on a related note from Rob, he wanted to know what the thoughts of Sebastian Kolberg's status. Would he be playing for Bridgeport? Would he have a shot at getting towards the big club next season?
Well, our plan for Sebastian is to play in the AHL next year. He just finished his first year of his 3-year entry-level contract. Has an explosive shot. That's probably his biggest asset, is his ability to shoot the puck and score goals. Great skater. Just needs to get adapted to the North American game and get stronger. So he had a setback in the playoffs this past season. He had to get shoulder surgery, so he's actually been in Long Island the last month or so rehabbing his shoulder injury. And you know what? We had him on the list when he was drafted at 22, so I believe he went in the early 30s.
33, I think it was.
Yeah, 33. So for us, it was, you know, an option to, instead of getting draft picks, to get a pick that is 2 years older than what this year or next year's draft would be, and to try to kind of accelerate the development process. So, you know, he's got the potential to be a top six winger. How he develops is, it's a million-dollar question with a lot of prospects. You draft them on draft day, and you project what they could be, and you try to put enough support around the players to get them to where they want to be and where we want them to be.
Okay, and, the first part of his question as far as, are you guys going to be looking specifically maybe more at wingers when it comes to the draft?
It's funny. We were in a position probably 5 years ago where we had a huge hole at center and on defense. And, in the last few years, we've really turned that into a strength of our organization. And I would agree our biggest weakness would probably be on the wing at this point for young players coming through the system. So, we'll go in with a mindset at the draft like we usually do with the best player available. And, if there's two players that we feel are six, one half dozen the other, then we would probably draft by our need at that point, as long as we thought both players were similar in potential.
Okay, switching to the other side of the offseason, we talked about the draft now. Obviously, and again, as I mentioned in before I got you on, that we obviously you cannot talk about players, and we're not going to talk about players specifically. Obviously, we know it's a tampering situation, and we won't go there. But just from a crystal ball standpoint, and I got this question from Anthony Tartamella, and he asked basically, would this year, being with the fact that it's the last year of the Islanders in Uniondale and the potential switch to the Barclays Center, we all know what's happened in the past where, deals have been offered, good deals have been offered, and the possibility of, we could say it honestly, playing in the Nassau Coliseum is not the, Taj Mahal of places to play, and I'm sure it maybe affected a decision here or there. Is the move, potential move to Barclays next year, you think that might be able to give you a little bit of a better advantage than you've had in past years with free agent signings?
Yeah, I believe it will. The conversations that I have with agents, the first question is how much longer are you in the Coliseum? When are you moving to Brooklyn? Conversations of that nature. I think as a player who becomes a free agent, the certainty of knowing where you're going to be, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, that plays a big part in it. And a player, for instance, would be very hesitant to buy a home when there was a possibility of the team relocating and the uncertainty that goes with that. So I believe it does help us. I believe the certainty is probably the biggest obstacle that we were battling. So it's all stuff from a hockey operations point of view.
Now, with adding to that question, too, and it just dawned on me as I'm sitting here listening to your answer, has there been any specific talk about actually in the future when you guys move to Brooklyn next year, will the team still base their practice operations and everything else in Syosset at Iceworks for this point and just use Barclays basically as a game situation, kind of like I would say in the same light that the Rangers kind of do, that they have their practice facility up in Greenberg and they're obviously down at the Garden for the game days. Would the Islanders be in that same kind of a situation?
Well, the Rangers and then the people who don't know the LA Kings are in the same situation. Both those teams primarily use their game rinks on game days or just for games itself. For us, we have a few different options that we're looking at. Whether it's renovating our practice facility and Iceworks or other venues that have shown an interest for us to make it our practice facility. those answers will come in the future. Still too early to tell, but they're all good options that we have. And, you know, right now I would envision us probably practicing out in Long Island and playing our games much like the Rangers or the Kings do.
Okay. Garth, we're just going to just take like a two-minute commercial break. I've got to cut in and pay a couple of bills, and then we'll have you come back right back on in a couple of minutes, and we'll finish up. Is that okay? All right, great, thanks. Okay, we are Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB. Gary and John, we're talking with Garth Snow. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes. We're going to pay a couple of bills, and we'll be right back to finish our conversation.
Listening to Sports Radio New York on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
Check out the Sports Radio New York network of shows every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. Call into our live shows at 631-888-8811. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio NY. And be sure to check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com. And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
All right, and thanks for coming back to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday night, May 4th. As always, our show is proudly sponsored by Country Foot Care in Mineola and Williston Park. Dr. Stephen Brook is a podiatrist providing the highest quality foot care on Long Island. Whether you have bunions, heel spurs, hammer toes, ingrown toenails, or foot pain, Country Foot Care's board-certified physicians offer expert service and care backed by many years of experience and an impressive resume of credentials. For more information on Country Foot Care, you can contact their offices at 516-741-FEET or stop by their offices in Mineola on Mineola Boulevard or Willis Avenue in Williston Park. You can also check their website at www.countryfootcare.com. Not only does Dr. Brooks sponsor the show, but I have been a patient of his for over 10 years, and I absolutely recommend him should you be in the need of podiatric assistance. John, back to you.
All right. Well, we're back here. I guess the next couple of questions, Garth, some folks wanted to kind of get your feel in regards to if you think that, for example, Griffin, what are the chances of Griffin Reinhart and Ryan Pulak making the team, coming out of camp next season? Is there anybody we might be missing who might be flying under the radar who we should look forward to as well?
Well, you know what, we're going to go in with an open mind in training camp. We obviously, as our lineup stands now on B, we have seven returning defensemen. But, we never want to discourage any of those young players, especially going into a summer training, preparing for the grind of a National Hockey League season. We like to give those players an opportunity. You know, we have players that we've seen up here, too, from Bridgeport. Scott Mayfield in his five games here played pretty well. I still think he probably needs a little bit more time in the AHL, but we'll see what happens in September. And always the great part about training camp and the exciting part about training camp is players trying to make the team. So time will tell. It's not a great answer, but it's an honest one. You just don't ever want to dash the hopes of a player making the big club.
And just going in and just kind of going back to something I was saying before. I mean, obviously, with the the unrestricted free agent season coming up on July 1st, there's a lot of names that are coming up, even a lot of names that are on the restricted free agent market. And obviously, with the advent this year of the salary cap going up, I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but I think it's about another $6 or $7 million. More going to the floor in the cap this year, Garth, am I right?
The league usually doesn't announce that until all the accounting's done from the playoffs. So we usually get a number late June, usually about a week before free agency. I know they do projections. I think the projections have softened a little because of the weakness in the Canadian dollar. So I would guess that it's probably going to be, 68 to 70 million.
Right. So that means the floor is probably going to head towards, I guess, the 50 range. Is that would that be?
Yeah, probably.
Right. So I mean, that's
53, right around there.
So that for you, that's going to obviously provide additional homework and in what you can try to do to get to that floor position. I mean, now I know, and I'm not going to debate you, and I know you've said it all along, and I agree with you that Charles has always said if you ever got the right player that you could do it. And obviously, from the attempts that you've made to sign players, even during the season when you tried to sign Vanek to the potential $50 million deal, is there a possibility in mind? I mean, is the thought ever played that if there's a restricted free agent that's sexy kind of a player that would would you think would fit perfect in a system? Could that be a possible option for you?
Well, first of all, the free agent class this summer is not a very strong free agent class. But for us, it's always about adding the right players. If you're gonna, in my view, when you're gonna pay elite money, I want an elite player back.
Oh, no doubt.
I'm not gonna give elite money to an average player. So. In that regard, I know we've been probably closer to the floor than we have been to even the midpoint, but a lot of that is a byproduct of not getting the elite talent. Like you mentioned, we offered a significant contract to Thomas Vanek in the past. We've offered significant money to other premier players in the league, and they've gone elsewhere. But the other part of that number being as low as it is you have a young group of players that are either in their entry-level contract, which is governed by the league and collectively bargained, and in a lot of cases in the second contract, where it's still not as large of a number as what may be for a player that's going into the third contract. So for us, I've said this so I'm blue in the face, and it's a true statement. I've never had a restriction when it came to adding salary. But my own opinion has always been that I'm not going to spend it foolishly, and we've tried to be responsible in that regard.
I hear you on that. Just one other thing, because we did mention the name Thomas Vanek, and I'm just curious. And again, I'm not trying to get your specific opinion on this, but in a general sense. Obviously, there was an article that came out. I don't remember where I saw it. It might have been the Globe and Mail. But there was some quotes come up from Michel Therrien specifically regarding Thomas Vanek, and specifically regarding the level of level of activity, if you will, and I'm using it generally speaking, but as a general manager, what the question I'm trying to drive as is that is how difficult is it for you to not control what your coach is going to say, but, you know, make sure that your coach doesn't come out with something that could, you know, be like a negative trigger. I mean, to me, I mean, fortunately, you know, Therrien said what he said on Friday, and his player scored two goals on Saturday against Boston in a losing cause. But something like that, I mean, would you consider that taboo for your coach to make some that kind of a strong statement, especially in a playoff time?
Well, honestly, I didn't see the article. I wasn't aware of it. So I can't really speak on that.
No, that's why I wasn't asking you to specifically comment on that particular thing, but I'm talking as a generality.
Well, I think for the way we do our business, whether it's Cappy or any other coach that we've had since I've been the manager, one thing we've always been adamant about is not to hang players out to dry. If you have an issue or you want to make a statement, you do it behind closed doors. And you know what? At the end of the day, I think the players appreciate it. It's probably one of the biggest reasons why we've been able to retain our own players like we have, whether it's a John Tavares signing, a Kyle Okposo, Michael Grabner, Travis Hamonic, right on down the line. You know, those players know that when things go poorly, the coach isn't going to throw them under the bus. And you know what? That I think that's one of the good things that we do as an organization is stick by our players. And I think you see the loyalty end up being a two-way street.
Here's just looking at our list of questions here, and this comes to mind because this is like a hot topic as far as just came to mind because I had a conversation with somebody not too long before we got out to the studio. Can you say at this point what you guys are going to do with the draft pick, you know, the whole Buffalo situation? Are you going to give that draft pick to Buffalo or are you going to keep it?
Well, we don't have to make that decision until June 1st. We have to finish up our amateur meetings here in 2 weeks. And you know what? I don't envision us giving this pick to Buffalo. But the beauty of it is I don't have to make that decision until June 1st. So not to leave you hanging, you know, we haven't gone through the whole process yet. And until we do that, you know, we won't make any final determination regarding the pick, but I can't envision us giving this pick to Buffalo.
You know what I can say right now? You must be one hell of a poker player.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah, I should have went to that poker night, I'll tell you that.
All right, well, this is obviously the Islanders' last season in Uniondale. And just to kind of, you know, get your feeling, how as the general manager, how being part of the organization, how does this impact you? I mean, are you sad? Are you optimistic about the next season? How are you feeling, you know, with this last season in at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum?
Well, for me, whether it's as a visiting player, as an Islander, or as a manager, you know, I'm obviously going to miss, you know, some of the moments that have been, quite frankly, great moments. You know, whether it's playoff hockey last year, whether it's, you know, when we were playing in the playoffs every year when I was a player. You know, those are fun environments. The Ranger games are always special. The division games have always been intense, and you really feel off the emotion of the crowd. But that being said, we're excited to go to a billion-dollar facility. It's pretty neat to go to Barclays Center, and you know, we played a preseason game there. We're playing another preseason game in September there. It's I think a neat feeling you know, on one hand, you're sad to feel that electricity in the old barn, and then there's the excitement that we're going to have what every other team has in the league. And when we go to you know, rinks throughout the league, and you see the first class amenities that they have, it's nice to know that our turn is right around the corner.
Exactly. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I'm sure you hear a lot of, you know, comments from people. You know, we talked to you at the my wife and I talked to you at the town hall meeting, and, you know, we said it's going to be tough for us to come back. You know, obviously, you know, the commute's different. And, you know, as Islander fans for years and years, I mean, this is my 28th year as a season ticket holder. We've been very spoiled because, you know, we have the arena so close to home and such a quick trip back. But, you know, I know it's going to be sad for us, but definitely we hope that things will turn around quickly. I know that you know, despite what happens, I know you care. I know from the many conversations I've had with you over the years, I hear it in your voice, and I know you want to see better things happen. And for now, we just say we wish you all the best of luck in the next couple of months. I know it's going to be a tough time, and we hope that, you know, everything comes out to be the right decision, and the team starts off with the mini camp in July, and hope things turn around and get a lot better.
You know, we're excited about next year. You know, it's disappointing is the biggest feeling that I have and our team has about what happened last year. But to a man, we know it's not going to happen again next year. And, you know, we're excited about this summer, and we're excited to play the final season in the Coliseum. We're going to make it a special one. So we know that... you know, fans like yourself have had a lot of great memories in that building, and we're going to give you some more next year, and that goes for all our fans. So we're looking forward to having a lot of success to close out the old barn.
Oh, by the way, one last thing. I completely forgot, and John, I forgot to put it in the notes, and I should have. Being of important players, can you give us a little bit of a status on how JT's doing? And
he's
actually,
doing well.
And actually,
yeah,
Kyle, too?
Well. Yeah, they're both doing well. I know John would probably be, if we were in the playoffs right now, he would have been playing.
Wow.
So that's
that's a quick recovery.
Yeah. There's no issues with either player to start next year. So I guess the biggest plus in all that is they won't miss any of their training program neither. So
how's Michael Grabner doing?
Michael's doing better. For us, you know, especially with a head injury, you don't want to really take any chances. And just a couple weeks ago when I saw him, he said he was feeling much better. So.
And Lubo as well?
Yeah, we don't anticipate any of the players having any issues starting in September.
Oh, that's great.
So we're looking for everyone to be 100% healthy and raring to go.
Well, Garth, as always, and you know I've said it to you in the past, I absolutely appreciate you coming on. Your honesty is exactly what I'm looking for, and hopefully the listeners as well. Again, we wish you nothing but the best for this coming season, and I look forward to seeing you probably during minicamp.
Absolutely. Gary, John, always a pleasure, and have a great summer.
All right. Thanks, Garth. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Take care.
All right, so Garth Snow just finished up 45 minutes with us, and I can't thank him enough, and I will send him a thank you note as well again, you know, just to appreciate it. You know, he didn't have to do this.
No, and, that's the thing. He didn't
know,
have to come on and speak to us
I
and
went,
answer any of the questions.
I went up to him, at, like I said, I got invited, Claire and I got invited to a town hall meeting at the Westbury Manor a couple of weeks ago after the season, and... I went up to him straight up and said, you know, hey, Garth, would you mind coming on? And the first question out of his mouth was, when? You know, didn't even blink an eyelash. When do you want me?
Which is great.
You know, which is great. He's always been accessible to me, and I really, really appreciate that. And, you know, again, there were a lot of comments on the Twitter questions that I was asking for people, and a lot of them, let's just say, were not of the kind variety. Of course, you're going to get that in any situation, and I think, unfortunately, due to the nature of how an Islander fan has been living the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
understandable.
Understandable, abused, disappointed, not getting this to the level that we think we're supposed to be. You know, a lot of things are out of a general manager's control. I mean, you know, you cannot blame a general manager for having 11 players in the lineup that have never played before in the NHL. You know, you can't blame an injury to John Tavares that he suffered in the Olympics
right.
on a general manager. You can't blame something that happened to Kyle Poso during a game on a general manager. That's the, you know, I'm not blaming the players either, but it's the way of the game.
Right.
It's the state of the game. It's unfortunately what happens. So, you know, who gets the fault of it? Unfortunately, there shouldn't be any fault. You know, I mean, Cappy was dealt the hands he was dealt with. Some people didn't like certain tactics in the way he did things. Now, I know in my section, people never were happy with the fact that, you know, when the team started to fall apart a little bit in the third period, that a timeout wasn't immediately called to shake up. You know, I mean, unfortunately, you have 11,000 coaches in the stands. And, you know, there are certain things that you can't predict or you can't, you know, put a finger on. But if you just go back to last April, the end of last April, and look at the core of the team and look what happened in that building in game four, you know, and listening, and game six even when they lost, but listening to the sound of that building, I mean, it shook. It shook like it hasn't shaken in a long time. And most of the guys on this team are here. You know, and hopefully...
And that's Garth's doing, too.
Right, that's Garth's doing. I mean, you know, everybody does pick on him, and I tend and will defend him a lot. But you know, Michael Grabner, Matt Molson, you know, even though Matt's gone, but all these players that have done so well were players that were, you know, either on the scrap heap or getting to it very fast, and Garth pulled them out. You know, maybe we haven't been able to get that pick, but you know, I don't think it's a result of Garth's doing. I mean, I think Garth has tried. You know, he's put out that money. He's put out those deals. You know, I mean, case in point, and fortunately, 2020 hindsight, it hasn't worked. He offered a big amount of money to Christian Ehrhoff,
right.
who basically flat turned him down and went to Buffalo. What has he done for the Buffalo Sabres in the 2 years?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's certain guys that just haven't done it. I mean, again, he offered Thomas Vanek the $50 million deal.
And he wants to see what he else
and he wants
can
to
get.
See what else he's going to get. And you know, I mean, I knew Garth wasn't going to say anything, but again, we could say it. The article talked about Thomas Vanek's laziness, and you know, unfortunately, that's not going to help him come July 1, when all these 30 teams are going to go to him and say, you know, well, gee, you know, you struggled on the island, you struggled here, you struggled there, and you're not the type of person that's going to want to, you know, jump out and...
Right, and what the Islanders got for him, you know, think about it this way, as I think it was at somebody's article...
Andy Graziano, I think.
...a great point about the fact that, well, Ryan Kessler wasn't moved, you know, on trade day either.
No.
So what does that tell you about Vanek's value? Does he think he's going to get $7-8 million a year? I don't think so.
Well, the only thing that's going to possibly give him credence is the fact, and again, we mentioned it, you know, with the call with Garth, is that the cap is going to go up. And again, he's right. The numbers aren't going to obviously be done, but everybody is saying, Bob McKenzie, all these hockey pundits are saying that salary cap is going to go up back almost to $70 million where it was about 3 or 4 years ago, which means these teams are going to be able to spend stupid money.
Right, and that will happen.
And that will happen, yep, absolutely. You know, but you got to wonder, you know, which means if it's going up $7 million on the cap, it means it's going to go up $6 or $7 million on the floor, which means, it's, like I said, it's going to be in the $50 million range. Where were the Islanders last year? They were in the $43 to $44 million range. They were right above the floor, which means if they get to that level and get everybody else signed or whatever, they still got to find another $6 or $7 million to spend.
Right.
Which means they're really going to have to push themselves into the free agent market. They're going to have to push themselves to try to get that kind of a player. You know, and I'm never was going to ask for Garth to push his hand. Obviously, you see a lot of articles and you see a lot of people doing thoughts. There are guys that are available that are going to make this team work. And again, you and I can talk about it. We obviously can't talk about it with him.
It doesn't have to be by way of the draft. It could be by trade. You know, if he's going to keep that pick, what's not to say that he doesn't trade that pick and make a sweeten the pot for a deal?
And a lot of people were saying, again, on the boards, were slamming that too, saying, oh, well, next year's draft is going to be ridiculous. Yeah, you know what? It is going to be ridiculous. But you know what? Garth's role right now is to improve now.
Right.
Not think about next year.
I'm not worried about next season.
Not worried
either.
About next season. You know what? Yeah, that draft might be 15 deep or 20 deep or whatever, as they're saying it might be. But you know what? They said that about other drafts, and look how certain things have turned out. But the point I'm trying to make is he's trying to improve this team now. And if the team gets better, the team makes the playoffs, the team gets to where we hope they should be, based on the 2012-2013 season, they're not going to be drafting second, third, fourth, or fifth. They're going to be drafting 16, 17, 18. So you know what? Getting the fifth player now is probably the best option he could
That's
have.
That's what my feeling is.
You know, I mean, unless you think he's going to, you know, I mean, they're not going to do it unless the team totally tanks and they can go for Connor McDavid, but that's not going to happen. That's not what a general manager wants to do or should do.
Why should you sacrifice the whole season just be on the hopes and the wing of a prayer of what you're going to get in a draft position?
Right.
I'd rather see this team take steps forward, recover, make the playoffs, make a run in the playoffs. I'm not worried about Connor
when Sidney Crosby was picked number one after the lockout in 2005, the Penguins obviously scored the luck of the ping pong ball. And that first season, obviously, Sidney Crosby did not do well. The team was bad. They ended up getting Evgeny Malkin the next year. I mean, that was the foundation. Yeah, they were lucky. They stepped their foot in it, if you will. But again, we all know what happened during the playoffs last year. We all know even in the beginning of the season, the Islanders started out well, you know, when everybody was healthy. And unfortunately, it was when, to me, it was in game, I think it was game 10 or game 11 when Vishnovsky went down with that concussion.
That hurt.
I mean, everybody thought that this team was going well. And as soon as he went down, you know, it was amazing what it took with their defense. It really killed them. You know, it changed their matchups. It changed their effectiveness. Their penalty killing, unfortunately, suffered massively. And unfortunately, I think for every Islander fan, for the last 3 or 4 years, we want to forget the month of November. I think we'd like to play October 31st and have our next game on December 1. You know, it's just I don't know what it is. And it's not. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's, you know, biorhythms or what it's going to be. You know, maybe get Teresa Caputo to Long Island Medium to find their long lost relatives to tell them everything is okay. You know, I don't know what it is. And you know, it'll be interesting to see, but you know, Garth has the biggest decision right now, and if you're looking at the Western Hockey League finals, which Griffin Reinhart and the Edmonton Oil Kings are playing, from what I hear, he has been an absolute stud stud for them, and that decision is going to be tremendously incredible to make. But you know, I mean, all intents and purposes, he must make this team.
Right.
I mean, he was that close last year. I mean, he was one of the last cuts. I mean, obviously, he was here 3 or 4 games, you know, watching from the press box, and then was obviously sent back to his junior team. You know, Ryan Pulak's even a tougher decision because he's played 4 years in the junior level. He's got nothing to prove. He's set all sorts of records for defensemen, you know, in the Western Hockey League with the Brandon Wheat Kings. And, I mean, the thing is, he's still 19. So, I mean, what can you do? Those are the decisions that makes it tough, because when you're trying to obviously get the salary up and to see these guys rise to the level that they are, you don't want to hamstring them, you know, as much as you can, you know, being stuck down in the WHL for another year. But, you know, those are things that are not easy. You know, obviously we can all sit here on our Facebook boards and Twitter posts and blogs and be the general manager and say all these things and then look at what Garth does and say, well, you know, why doesn't he do it? Was he not thinking? Of course he's thinking. But you know what? He's got to think of not just that one decision, but every other decision that falls behind it. You know, whether it's the salary, whether it's the level of play.
And sometimes having too much depth is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the 2 years ago with that Griffin Reinhardt draft, that he drafted defensemen with every pick. You know, I mean, it was a fact that the organization from Bridgeport and down didn't have enough, you know, and, you know, the way things will hopefully work out, you know, with Sebastian Kohlberg and the like being in the AHL, to me, they're going to have a bulldog coach in Brent Thompson.
Yeah, he's
you know, when I covered a lot of the Bridgeport games that year, going down to the locker room and listening to Brent talk after the game, there were some instances, especially when I covered a loss, that when we talked to him, I felt like I had to brace myself on the back wall and like be ready to get my head shoot out. You know, he demands a lot, and you can see it in the way he coaches behind the bench, even with the big club. And I think, to me, you know, and Gar said it best, you know, it's not a downgrade move. To me, it's a lateral or a slightly upgraded move because of what his importance is going to be to the development of those young kids.
Right.
I mean, that 1 year that he made the playoffs with Bridgeport, that team would go hell through hellfire and brimstone for him, and anybody listening from Bridgeport can attest to that and know, you know, what he did. And I know from listening to people on the boards that the people in Bridgeport are thrilled to see him come back. So it's going to be a tough 2 months for this guy.
Right.
You know?
It's going to make a lot of, you know, I hate to put it in these terms, but it's going to make or break him. You know, what we have going to war with in September.
And again, as fans, and as bloggers and other people, we look at it and say, you know, and people have said it, and I'll say it now after the interview. I didn't want to mention this during the interview, but you know, some people say that Garth has been kind of like a quote unquote Teflon Don, that you know when Charles Wong has an interest in somebody, not only does he take it, you know, this is other people's opinion and not mine, that not only does he take full embrace of him, but he'll never let him go.
Right.
You know, I mean, you think of Ricky, you think of Alexei Yashin, you think of those type of guys, you know, people were saying, get rid of him, get rid of him, get rid of him, and of course, they didn't. And, you know, until eventually, obviously, Garth, you know, had to let Rick DiPietro go because of all the injuries and everything. And the other fact of the matter, and just coming back to it, obviously he's got one more term on his contract, you know, term contract that he can do that I'm not sure that he's going to do, you know, obviously because of the salary situation. But just looking at it from the NHL standpoint, that's going to bring a lot of interesting questions. You know, for example, the New York Rangers, do they release Brad Richards at the end of this season? That's going to be a big, interesting question there. Last I heard, the Rangers were down 1-0 in the second period to the Penguins. I don't know what's going on yet because I've actually closed my computer because we got about 4 minutes, Bri? 3 minutes. Okay, so I guess we'll just say it was a good interview. If you have any questions from us, we're going to be off until next month, but we would really love to hear your opinions, your thoughts, what we may have done right, what we may have done wrong.
Yeah, and I will make the prediction right now that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say we were too easy on it.
Yeah, we are. You know, I admit we are, you know, but again, I have a relationship with him through this radio station, through my blog, and I'm not going to be as tough as I should be, as you, the fans, are. Me as a fan,
well, we have to walk the line between fandom and being members of
me
the
Me as a fan, I have, believe me, I have plenty of questions for Garth I'd like to ask, and I won't do it because of the fact that I'm a fan, and I don't want to jeopardize my relationship with him as a media person. And so anyway, to get to that, if you've got questions, we are both on Twitter. Twitter handle is IslesSection317. John's is Hockey Blindside. We also have our blog on Isles Talk that we haven't been writing as much lately, but we'll get back to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Or you can actually email us through the Sports Talk 1240 website. There's an email link there as well. So definitely let us know what you think. We really want the constructive criticism. We also have Isles Talk on Facebook as well. John and I are also on Facebook. You can find us. Anybody can find us on Facebook, I'm sure. Friend request us, please do. We're not back on until I believe, a month from now in June. So we'll talk about that more. We're going to also get involved a little more with the Long Island Ducks next month. We'll have some interviews coming on. And again, from the studios at WGBB 1240, you've listened to Sports Talk 1240. John Panarese, again, thank you as always for coming.
I really
appreciate it. It was great. We want to thank Gar Snow again for taking the time. He didn't have to do it, but he did it, and we really appreciate it. So we are back next week.
Next month, right?
June. I think it's the first weekend in June at 9 o'clock. So for John, this is Gary, and in the words of my good old friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody. We'll see you next month.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.